Maybe the reason I like the movie so much is that it turns on its head my traditional understanding of how Christmas is supposed to be. It takes that Hallmark card version of the Christmas holiday, the one we all hope for, where all is calm and all is bright, and it gives it a big kick right in the rear end. And not only that, in doing so, I think it comes closer to the truth of what Christmas is really all about. Now, the movie I am talking about dates all the way back from 1983, and it has since become something of a Christmas season classic, right up there with Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life, Love Actually, and the like. Its name is A Christmas Story. Now, for those who have not seen it, a quick summary. Set in a small town in the late 1940s, it's almost Christmas, and little Ralphie Parker, maybe a sixth grader at best, has his heart set on the perfect gift, a Red Ryder 200-shot carbine action model air rifle. Now, when he tells his mom of this Christmas wish, with a gasp of horror, she dismisses the idea out of hand, saying, "You'll shoot your eye out," which is the exact same response every adult says who he brings this gift idea up to, including Santa at the mall. Now, while the main plot of the film revolves around Ralphie's hope of getting that air rifle, what makes the film really interesting is the way everything in the Parker family falls apart as they try to get ready for Christmas. The furnace in the house keeps breaking down. The car gets a flat on the way to buy a Christmas tree. Ralphie's father wins an award, which turns out to be a gaudy table lamp in the form of a woman's shapely leg, which Ralphie's mother abhors and which she accidentally breaks. Ralphie uses the F word in front of his father with predictable consequences. The neighborhood's dogs ravage through the kitchen and eat the Christmas turkey. And the movie ends with the family celebrating Christmas at the only place open in town, a Chinese restaurant. Now, many of us get Christmas cards every year which proclaim peace, which is fitting since Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. But in A Christmas Story, Christmas comes in with anything but peace. Instead, Christmas comes in with chaos and disruption, and the family's settled everyday life is turned upside down. Looking back on that time, the film's narrator says, "Oh, life is like that. Sometimes at the height of our revelries, when our joy is at its zenith, when all is most right with the world, the most unthinkable disasters descend upon us." But here's the point. Isn't that the real story of the first Christmas? Look at Joseph. Everything was going well for him. Life was going quite smoothly, thank you very much. A young man making his way in the world, so much so that he was in a position to be married and move out of the family home. A favorable match had been made with an attractive local girl, and they're engaged to be married. He likely has found a house, made plans to make some improvements. He's looking forward to the wedding night. And then his fiancée tells him that she's carrying a child that is not and cannot be his. He is, of course, devastated. But he figures that he can salvage the situation by quietly breaking off the engagement and getting on with his life. But then God breaks in, and a heavenly messenger comes to Joseph in a dream, telling him that the child is of the Holy Spirit, and that he ought not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. When Christmas comes to Joseph, it does not bring him a sweetened, easier life. It brings disruption. It brings change. It turns his world upside down. And when Christmas comes to Mary, it does not make life easier. It makes it more complicated, more difficult, more challenging. It turns her world upside down. And so no wonder the reaction of each, when each is told by an angel of this impending birth, no wonder the reaction is of fear. And of course, 6 months later, Jesus is born, not at a local hospital, not at their home, not at their parents' home, but in far-off Bethlehem, in a stable among the farm animals, with a feed box for a crib. And the next thing you know, the pediatric ward is turned into Grand Central Station with the arrival of a gang of grubby shepherds, and hard on their heels, those suspicious-looking characters from the East. In the incarnation, in God becoming one of us, in taking on our human flesh and our common lot, God began to set things right with us, to fix what we had so badly messed up and were unable to fix on our own. But it seems that this could not be done in a business as usual, all is calm, all is bright fashion. It took some serious disruption, some serious chaos, some serious I am going to turn your world upside down type stuff. The gifts of God which we celebrate on the Sundays of Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love, they come through God's disrupting intrusion. And so I sometimes wonder if we don't have Christmas all wrong. At Christmas, we seem to want to go back to the good old days, back to the days of Currier and Ives Prince, of sleighs jingling their way through a quiet snowfall, back to a remembered cozy time around the fireplace, back to the happiness of children attacking a pile of presents jumbled under a gaily decorated Christmas tree, back to an imagined, healthy, happy, peaceful nuclear family sharing a feast together. And yet the original Christmas story seems to want to break us of this addiction of imagining that safety and salvation lie in going back to some sort of mythic haven, in pretending that all is really calm and bright. The original Christmas story tells us that God's salvation for us comes to disrupt our world, and calls us to get off our duffs and take part in God's sweeping, world-changing purposes. The original Christmas story tells us to not be afraid to say yes to God, to take on what the world might consider to be too risky, to stand up for someone in need, to bear love into the world. So what would it mean if we allowed Christmas to turn our world upside down? What would it mean if it turned on its head our understanding of Christmas as a time to give in to the consumer culture, which tells us to spend ourselves in debt for months so that we can buy others lots and lots of gifts, while at the same time we live in a culture which is simply awash in more stuff than we know what to do with? At a time when much of the world suffers from a lack of safe water and from malnutrition, from diseases such as cholera and typhoid and typhus and intestinal parasites, while we, on the other hand, suffer from diseases of affluence, like obesity and lung cancer and alcoholism and drug addiction, what would it mean if we allowed Christmas to turn our world upside down? Could we imagine saying to our loved ones, this Christmas, one of my gifts to you is a contribution to the Heifer Project, so that a family in Central America might have a flock of geese, or impoverished farmers in Arkansas might be helped to develop markets for locally grown food? Could you imagine, amidst all the giving that you do, adding one more gift, a gift to your local church to support its ministries in a time when we have another budget shortfall? Can you imagine saying to your family, please honor me this year by giving a gift to a charity in my name? What would it mean if we allowed Christmas to turn our world upside down, not only in how we think about gift giving, but also in how we think about the ways in which God might be working in our lives? What would it mean if, when disaster strikes, when we lose a spouse, or when an unforeseen illness strikes, or when that pink notice lands in your inbox at work, or you have to up and move from your single family home to a retirement community or to an assisted living facility? What if you could imagine that this disruption was not the end of the world, but the beginning of God's new start in your life? Now, how often is it that when our ordinary routine is upset, when our settled expectation of how life should be are upended, that our reaction is to say, God, where are you? What we really mean is, God, why have you abandoned me? Well, maybe we have the right question, but the wrong assumption behind it. The assumption that God's desire for us and our lives is the same as our own desire. What if we allowed Christmas to turn our world upside down and could imagine that this disruption, this time of chaos, might be the birth pangs of something unexpected and wonderful? This is Ralphie's wisdom from A Christmas Story. Sometimes at the height of our revelries, when our joy is at its zenith, when all is most right with the world, the most unthinkable disasters descend upon us. Friends, I believe the challenge for us is to imagine the Christmas story, the gospel Christmas story, as our story, and to imagine responding to it in all its awesome and even fearful potential, responding to it in trust, as did Joseph. Responding to it in faith, as did Mary. Our challenge is to look at that disruption square in its face and then say, as Mary did, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Long ago, Christmas turned their world upside down. My prayer for you is that this year, you will let Christmas turn your world upside down as well. Amen.